This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy Monday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. What a weekend it was. The news cycle does not stop, not even for the Super Bowl. But that's our YouTube live chat poll for today, is grade the Super Bowl. Our standard grading system applies A, B, slash C, D, or F. We're going to talk about it a little bit throughout the show. There have been years where I have completely and totally not paid any attention to it. And I very, very personally offended by what the NFL and Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones and all of these people who just swim in their piles of money did to St. Louis. But it really, if somebody hurts you that way, like it was an emotional thing to lose the St. Louis Rams, right? If somebody hurts you that way and some time passes, maybe you come to the place where you're kind of maybe growing a little bit, you kind of callous to that. You can grow past it or whatever. But watching the NFL be dumb in the wake of losing the Rams, it was so easy to be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. You screwed us over. You don't even have a football-centric product anymore. Goodbye.
Absolutely. You couldn't have encapsulated my thoughts toward the NFL any better. It was just too easy to not care.
Yeah. The last year they were in St. Louis was the hands up, don't shoot thing, right? When they came out of the tunnel with their hands up.
Oh my gosh.
It was a bull crap thing. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I lose track. But if you're in St. Louis and you've been personally affected by the arrogance of the NFL, of people like Stan Kroenke, that to me is the beginning of my disgust for the NFL, is how the NFL treated us. Then on top of it is all the woke crap that infiltrated what I would like to think of. Yeah, you know, I'm a baseball girl. I like baseball. I like watching baseball the most, I think. But watching football is so freaking fun. And I was watching the Super Bowl yesterday, and it really was ironic. My husband is still like, he's never been an NFL guy. He, you know, yay, go Rams, whatever. But he's always liked college football. I've talked about how he's a big Notre Dame fan. My son went to 15-year-old went to his buddy's house, so they had a buddy thing, which was good that he went there. My brother-in-law had a party, invited us over, but I have felt sick, been sick. Molly was sick on Friday, so we were just trying to stay low. So Sunday turned into my husband was in the kitchen like the majority of the time, and my oldest daughter and I were sitting in our PJs watching the Super Bowl and the commercials and taking all of that stuff in. It was just kind of like not how you picture the All-American Super Bowl party. But I have to say, I was incredibly pleased watching the football game. I think I was rooting for the Chiefs by default going into it. But as the Chiefs just completely sucked, There was nothing to cheer for the Chiefs.
There was no air in the balloon the start.
I think the only time it was truly exciting was with 2 minutes left to go in the game, 2.5 minutes left to go in the game, when Mahomes throws 70 yards to Worthy and they caught it.
That was a good play. One play.
Too late.
It's too late for it to matter.
But when the Eagles were doing their thing, I wasn't mad about it. So I always find myself in a position of watching a big sporting event where, like, air quotes, my team isn't playing. I eventually, usually quicker than not, just gravitate towards a team. I didn't care at all yesterday. I was indifferent. Maybe if the Chiefs would have dominated the way the Eagles would have, I would have felt differently. But I never was, like, pulling for anybody. But it was such a bad football game. It was hard to find anything to pull. I mean, it was just not predetermined. I know some people think that. Excuse me. I have no notes. I have no inside information. The football was not good. But that was even better for me because the football didn't get away of the event, which is what I wanted to pay attention to. Not because I wanted to sit down and be entertained, but I wanted to study. I want to see in the Donald Trump world, where Donald Trump is going to be present at this Super Bowl game, where you have just a different air about the country right now. I wanted to see what all of these people who are just pumping money into this huge, huge event, I wanted to see what they found valuable, because where people spend money in our country is very indicative of where they think the culture is going. And where the culture is going is where the politics actually follow. The culture will lead the way and the politics will quickly follow that. And I think that the Super Bowl is a really, really incredible measuring stick for where the culture is, which, going back to my original statement, which is why I didn't want to watch the NFL for so long, because their representation of culture sucked. It's like not anything that I want to expose my children to, that I want to expose myself to. I was disinterested in it. And there are things that took place yesterday at that Super Bowl game that, yes, if you're watching the football game, if you were there for the football, and I totally understand people who were, you probably thought it was one of the worst. Just because, especially in this area, maybe you were a Chiefs fan. Maybe that was personally effective to you. It wasn't to me. But I want to talk throughout the course of the show, we're going to hit on this in the 2 o'clock hour, at the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour as well, about what yesterday's Super Bowl means as a benchmark for our culture, for our society, for what is coming ahead. I have to say, I think the future looks very, very bright. I could not believe one of the things that was very, very obvious to me, and I kind of live tweeted some of it. I didn't hashtag anything. I just don't want to play the game. I also don't want to fight with people. So a lot of times when I'm tweeting things, I'm really doing it so that I can talk about it later on the show and I have a place to mark it. You remember when, like, well, Dylan Mulvaney, this is a really, really good example. Dylan Mulvaney is an influencer who probably, if all publicity is good publicity, he might have gotten the most publicity out of any advertisement ever. And my understanding is they sent like a package to him and was like, here's some free Bud Light and some stuff. And then Dylan Mulvaney, who's an influencer, shows it to his audience. Well, it did not go well. Bud Light really missed the mark on that. And it's pretty obvious that Bud Light knows that. They're not in a position right now where they're still trying to figure out where the problem is or was. They're definitely searching for a solution. We'll talk about the Bud Light ad a little bit later. But influencers, social media influencers as the avenue to market your product. Listen to some of these people who were used in advertisements and marketing for products during the Super Bowl, or as employed, I assume, by the NFL themselves to talk about the game and to fluff it up. Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Harrison Ford, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Kevin Costner, Antonio Banderas, Morgan Freeman, Samuel L. Jackson, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Matthew McConaughey. These are the A-list of A-list stars in Hollywood. And they were in Super Bowl commercials? That, to me, shows a dramatic shift in where Hollywood ranks in our lives. Why? Because I think it's actually kind of beneath the likes of these high profile Hollywood stars to come be in some sort of 30-second spot during Super Bowl, or to be the person who, I guess, it's kind of laughable to me because it's just definitely not for me. I don't need Tom Cruise to pump me up before the Super Bowl game.
I do.
Why? Well, I think there's a difference here. plus, I can't handle Tom Cruise, non-movie Tom Cruise. There's something about him that looks just a little added.
Like if you saw him in person, you'd go, I think I might still be looking at a screen.
I want to touch his face and see what happens. I want to see if it moves. Does it fall off? I mean, he's such a handsome man, for sure. Maverick, he's so great in that. I think that it seems like he's aged really well, but then you see him in those types of things that aren't like super Hollywood produced, I guess. And I just wonder about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Costner, total smoke show. Am I right?
Yep.
It's okay. You can admit it. Handsome man when you see it.
I can. I don't think about that when I look at
Brad
Kevin
Pitt.
Costner.
He look good.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
I don't think about that when I look at Kevin Costner.
Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth's a handsome man.
Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt's a hottie.
Yeah. It's interesting that that's where you went with Chris Pratt.
He's a good guy. He's a good man.
Don't you think that they kind of are graduates out of needing to do Super Bowl commercials?
Yeah, it's odd because the world we live in now, there's so much cross-promotion that you have to keep doing things to stay relevant. Whenever I saw Chris Pratt promoting the Monopoly game, I was like, what in the world is going on? Oh, it's because he's in the Monopoly movie. So
I didn't see that.
Yeah, him and...
I was talking
Jason
about
Jason Momoa.
No, I didn't see that. The one I saw was the Meta glasses.
Yeah, and this is outside of Super Bowl. But I think a lot of these people they get into contracts first of all that are all encompassing now. So they're just having to do more.
Yeah, but that's different. The Monopoly thing is not a Super Bowl thing. I'm talking about coming to Super Bowl. Is there a bigger day in television advertising than the Super Bowl?
No, this is it.
So this is where you go to put your best foot forward. It just seems to me like some of these Hollywood A-plus listers are above it, but I guess they're not anymore. I think Hollywood has been knocked down so many notches right now that, I don't think that Kevin Costner needed work. I don't think that he was there because he needed the money. But if he cares about Hollywood, good Lord, we've seen Tom Cruise's advocacy for the theater, experiencing movies the way they were intended. I love that he cares about that because in the same vein of watching Tom Cruise advocate for the production of an experience that should be, a 4D effect in a theater, making a movie like Maverick and going all in on it, he had to also invest in a story that people wanted to see. And when you see these super A-listers, that Jeep ad with Harrison Ford was chef's kiss. The Jeep ad that had Bruce Springsteen in it last year or the year before was one of the most railed ads. Jeep made a 180 and put Harrison Ford in it. And Harrison Ford was talking about all of the things that are great, that are truly great. It was an acknowledgement of a country that I feel like I used to know, that over the last 10 to 15 years, we've been force-fed a different understanding of what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to know. As they continue to repeat, the Democrats and the far-left progressive wing of the Democratic Party has worked overtime to redefine what you understand to be your problems. And they did that so they could sell you the solutions to them. And when you watch the Super Bowl, what's the wokest thing that you saw yesterday?
The national anthem beforehand, or the Black National Anthem.
They didn't call it the Black National Anthem.
But they didn't call it that.
They didn't refer to it. They played Lift Every Voice. It was the very first thing that they did in production. America the Beautiful played afterwards. I'm here to say this, and you guys completely disagree with me. Who cares if they play Lift Every Voice? It's a beautiful song. It's a Christian song, right? It's an acknowledgement of a Christian faith. There's religion that is involved in it, and if you want to sing that song, sing that song. Don't refer to it as the Black National Anthem. They didn't. Then they played America the Beautiful by a Christian singer. And then they played the National Anthem.
That's an interesting perspective. I haven't heard anybody say that.
I think it's a win. I think it's a shift. And if you want to play that, if that's a song that makes people feel like they're celebrating the country, and you're playing America the Beautiful next, you're not calling, it's not like the Black National Anthem, the White National Anthem, and then the National Anthem. Here are some songs that celebrate our country. I'll go reread them again, but I've done it pretty much every year when this happens. There's nothing in Lift Every Voice that makes me, like, if that song just was handed to me and I just read it, I'd be like, okay, what am I missing something on the song? It's the woke culture that has tried to make it this thing.
Yes.
And it was still in there. It was the very first thing that they did. I thought it was performed fine. I didn't have a problem necessarily with the performance. And then they moved on to America the Beautiful. And then they did the National Anthem. I thought the National Anthem was great. I think people are here and there on that.
Yeah, I did too. I thought America the Beautiful was fantastic with Lauren Daigle. I thought even their rendition of it was cool.
It was New Orleans, so that matters.
And I kind of, to be honest with you, with the Lift Every Voice thing, we were milling about and eating and it was on in the background. And I didn't really notice it. And it was later that I saw people commenting on it. So my experience was very secondhand.
Sure. But I think it's important, exactly what you're saying, because everybody was talking about the Black National Anthem. I don't think we need to put that song away and never bring it out again because some idiots tried to force feed it to us in a way that was not genuine. If the song does have a national significance to our country, if we want to sing it in the same context, if we're not introducing it as the Black National Anthem and then the White National Anthem or whatever it might be,
it's very true.
Then look for the wins, not the losses here. And I think that the way it was set up, maybe it was a compromise, but I don't even care that it's like, didn't ruin my day to hear it.
Well, if it is a shift, I mean, like you're saying, if they went out of their way to not try to separate the country and call it something that would be, you know, something that we would go, why are you trying to delineate between white and black at the Super Bowl? Why are you doing that? If they moved away from that, like you're saying, that is a shift.
Yeah, and it should be noted. And it might be a minor detail, but it's an important detail. Because again, I was watching yesterday specifically for the purpose and the intent of seeing where has the culture gone. We're going to talk more about this throughout the course of the show, so stick with us and definitely give us your comments. JR just said National Anthem, not well done, in his opinion. I thought it was good. I loved it. I like the New Orleans portion of it, too, if you're in New Orleans and you understand how important music is to that area, you're going to know that, like, if you put the New Orleans flair on it, it's going to sound different than it sounds other places. So I kind of understand why people, like, if people are like, just sing the National Anthem, just do the Whitney Houston, like, anybody can just do that, and just do the National Anthem. I'm not mad if New Orleans does it in their New Orleans way. More to talk about that. A lot of comments coming in on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, but we want to take a break. My friend Stuart Rosenblum, our partner here with Stuart's American Mortgage, is coming in studio, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The market, this is, I think, maybe the second time that we've had him in since Trump won, but the first time we've had him in since Trump's been in office. So let's find out what the market might bear here in the near future. Stewie has a great inside look of all of this type of stuff, and he's going to join us in studio. If you've got questions for my friend Stewie, you can put them in the YouTube chat as well. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mr. President, just to follow up, you said you think the Fed should listen to you. Can you elaborate on why you think it should?
With regard to interest rates?
Correct, yes.
Because I think I know interest rates much better than they do. And I think I know it certainly much better than the one who's primarily in charge of making that decision. But no, I'm guided by them very much. But if I disagree, I will let it be known.
So President Trump talking about interest rates right now, and we haven't seen, I guess this last time, we haven't seen a dramatic move from them on lowering interest rates. And anytime this stuff is happening, my first text is to Stewie at Stewart's American Mortgage, my friend, a partner here on the show, because you understand these things, Stewie. What is Donald Trump doesn't set the rates, but what in the Donald Trump presidency now is going to happen as rates are not as low as they were when he was the president before. But you've told me before, it's not necessarily that we want them to be so low, because that means something else has gone dramatically wrong.
Well, you know, overall, the economy is doing fairly good, and I think the employment numbers are showing strength. So the Federal Reserve on their side saying, hey, we're not going to lower interest rates at all right now. We're going to keep things as they are and just wait and see what's happening. But there's a lot of stuff that's happening. For example, a lot of the labor costs that mortgage lenders have is related to regulations. We have to have a whole department just to comply with state and federal regulations. And some of it's good, but a lot of it is just cumbersome and very costly to mortgage lenders. If it's very costly to mortgage lenders, they pat that in to the total cost of what they charge you as a consumer. So at the end of the day, you as a consumer pay for something. Now, if you ever looked at a mortgage application and you get all these documents, the CFPB, which is the main governing arm of all lending institutions, they got involved with Dodd-Frank, which changed all the laws back in 2008, 2009, and all of a sudden, instead of getting one page, which was already complicated, you're getting four pages on estimating what your costs and what your APR is, and people don't really look at it. They look at that and then, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So the CFPB right now, all of a sudden, is in overhaul mode because the acting director, it's a guy named Russell Voigt, went in there and said, hey, you guys, everybody work from home right now. We're going to relook at all the numbers that are and the things that we're doing to see whether or not this is really helping the consumer. He went even a step further, which I couldn't even imagine to say. The feds were due to give more money to the CFPB for operating costs, and he turned away and said, we don't need that money. We've got $117 or $700 million sitting in our bank account. Why do we need more money? It's over here. So stop sending us money. We're shutting down the system. We're going to evaluate what's really necessary for the consumer and put them in a better position so it becomes more competitive. At the end of the day, you as a buyer or a borrower are going to end the benefits and get the better rates.
So, Stewie, when you're watching a lot of what Donald Trump has been doing right now, to me, I just keep thinking of it. It's like he's going in and he's weeding the whole garden, and the garden is overgrown. It's a mess. You can't even tell what was supposed to be in the garden. Like, what was the intention of the garden in the first place? Because it's just so taken over with suffocating foliage that's drowning out the entire purpose of the garden to begin with. When you're watching him, you know, like you said, at the CFPB say, all right, you guys just stop for a second. We got a lot of work to do here. We got a lot of weeding to do here. And he's doing it across the board. USAID, man, that was pretty dramatic. What is your thought on how all of these actions, when it comes to spending the American taxpayer dollar, how does this affect, you know, what you do for a living with mortgages, the housing market, the deficit, the budget? What's your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think it's going to be great. I think you're going to see interest rates drop. I think the bond market, which is what interest rates are based on, is going to improve with strength. I think the stock market's going to improve with strength. It's a little bit of a bump in the road. You know, you can't jump from point A to point C without going to point B. So they have to go in, they have to clean up the mess, they have to improve it. But can you imagine the amount of money that this country will save if everything is cleaned up?
Yeah.
And how that would benefit financial markets? Let that money go back to things that we need. It's going to improve things overall. And once you see those improvements, there's no necessity to go ahead and have the higher interest rates. They will drop back. So the Federal Reserve has, you know, their mission, which is to keep inflation in check. I think President Trump is right now instituting those tariffs and doing things that maybe threaten inflation a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's all going to drop back. And I think we're going to see some really good numbers here towards the middle and end of the year. And everybody's going to look back and say, wow, how quick these changes can actually have effect.
We're speaking with Stewie with Stewart's American Mortgage. You know, he is the bagel loan guy. People are probably contacting their realtors right now and thinking about maybe a list in spring, or maybe they've been through that process already. And you know, spring is usually a hot time in the real estate market. Is that going to continue? You see any reason why that won't be the case?
Oh, I think it's going to be stronger. I think this buying season in the spring is going to be crazy. You're going to see 3, 4, 5, 10 bids on a particular property and offers, and you got to be prepared. You got to get your pre-approvals in line. You got to know what you're getting into. You're smart now if you buy now where the interest rates are a little bit more elevated, because later on you can refinance for free, you know, with the bagel loan. If you wait to buy when those interest rates are lower, you're going to have even more competition for those houses, and the prices are going to go higher. So you're smart to buy it now, where instead of being 10 bids, maybe there's 3, and then refinance later. Otherwise, well, good luck even getting the house, let alone the price you want to pay.
Yeah, the first time I refied with you, Stewie, both times with the bagel loan, the first time I went from whatever the mortgage rate I had in 2015 when we bought our home, it was like maybe 4. Mid-4s or something like that. And we refied and it was down in the 3s. And then we had to put a new deck on our house. So I refied with you again and took some money out of our house. The equity had gone up quite a bit, but then was able to get a rate even in the 2s, which was wonderful. There's a lot of different reasons why people might refinance. And I think that when it comes to watching the government get their act together right now, fiscally, at least that's what it appears to me, I think a lot of people are trying to do the same thing in their own home, especially with the beginning of a new year. It might be a resolution of sorts. Interest rates seem to be pretty high on credit cards right now. Is it a smart move to refi your mortgage and maybe take a higher rate on your mortgage? But if you can get rid of $20,000 or something in credit card debt, is that a smart move? Does it depend on every person's situation? How do you react to that?
Well, we're going to go a step further, Annie. We're going to have a little bit of fun. You're in the mood for some fun?
Mortgage fun is my favorite.
They usually don't come together, but we're going to do it. Okay. So there are those people out there that consolidate debt and they want to lower the rate in order to improve their cash flow and have a better quality of life. And then there's another group of people, and that's the folks that we're going to talk to right now. We're going to introduce something very unique. In Scotland, there was a custom that when you paid off your mortgage, you painted your door red. Okay, in the United States,
door.
A red door. That was the symbol. Hey, house is paid off. It's mine. I got equity. It keeps appreciating. I got my house.
My door is not red yet.
Work on it. We're going to help you. So if you come to us and you're in a situation where you have to consolidate debt, okay, if you allow us to do it for you and you pay off your mortgage in half the term that's remaining, we're going to give you a $1,000 prize. So that means if you have a bunch of credit card debt, you have 20 years left in your mortgage, when we combine that credit card debt, we improve your cash flow, but you maintain the payments you're making now, and instead of being done in 20 years, you're done in 10, you call us in 10 years, we'll give it to you in writing, we're going to give you a $1,000 prize bonus. Now you got your house free and clear. It's encouragement to get stuff done even quicker. Even if you refinance later when rates go down. So we do it for you now. Then we redo it again, maybe at a 10-year loan in 2 years or in a year. If you get it done completely and you start A through Z with us, we're going to give you that $1,000 prize. We're going to call it the Red Bagel Challenge.
That's great. I love that. I didn't know that that was the red door. Did you know that?
It's the red door.
I've never heard. But that makes sense now because you always hear that term in real estate. But I didn't know what it came from.
What color is your door? Mine's black.
Mine's more of like a pinkish.
You're getting close.
We're about halfway.
We actually had a listener, by the way, that did this about 7 or 8 years ago. They called us, and they had low credit scores in the 650, 660 range. A lot of debt. We consolidated the debt. They had 25 years left on the loan. About 3 weeks ago, they paid off the mortgage and invited me to the barbecue. And they did what the American tradition was, which is burn the mortgage.
Yeah.
In Scotland, they painted the door red. Here, they burned it.
Fire.
And I was invited for the barbecue. We had a fire sale. And we were there, and they got it done in 8 years. They paid off the entire mortgage. Now they have a $500,000 house free and clear.
That's pretty crazy. How big is it? Like, how big is your credit score these days?
My personal credit score?
No, like, it, yeah.
What's your credit score,
Stewie? Tell me what your credit score is.
I haven't ran in a while,
I hope yours is pretty good. How big is a credit score for a person, like, to focus on making sure that you improve it? I remember you talked about this is the number one way to get Ryan Wiggins really ticked off, is to talk about how if your credit score is too good, you get a little extra something
but
on your mortgage.
Do you have a low credit score?
it's above 400 now.
He has a low social credit score.
No, it's with these laws that Biden enacted.
Oh God!
Or laws? They're not even laws.
It you know,
the fee.
Don't get me started.
You're having too nice of a credit score. You have to pay a little extra something for the people who don't. Is that still in place?
It's still in place. Not only that, but if you make too much money. Okay, you have to pay a higher rate. It's ridiculous. So first of all, you have to recognize that there's over 400 credit score models. That means there's 400 Equifaxes, 400 TransUnion. So if you see on your Discover card or Credit Karma what your credit score is, that's not your mortgage credit score. It's totally different. The only way you can find out that number is if you call a mortgage company and they run your credit. So realize that, number one.
Is there a correlation between like what you see from Equifax and what you would see as a mortgage lender? Is it usually higher, lower? Does it completely depend?
I've seen it both ways. Most of the time, if you have a 650 credit score and now you have a 700, then you'll see an incline in your credit score overall, but it's not going to be 700.
Yeah.
So the trend seems to be corresponding, but the actual numbers, I've seen people with 720 credit scores on their Credit Karma, and all of a sudden they're 580 and vice versa.
Oof.
So you don't really know what your mortgage credit score is unless you have somebody run it.
Yeah.
So the credit score is it, and it's really sad because in the Biden era, and I don't want to get too political, even though it's a political show, but in the Biden era, what they did was, in order to go ahead and allow people with lower incomes to get into homes, they gave them a better rate, and to offset that risk, they went ahead and charged people with higher incomes and higher credit scores to offset the risk cost. And that's like the Robin Hood type theory. You know, you take from you go ahead and steal from the rich and you give it to the poor. And I'm not saying it's not good for us as a nation to go ahead and help people who need the help, but to penalize somebody because they're doing better doesn't make sense. It surely doesn't make sense. That
it does
a person,
if you're communist, but
that's right. It sure doesn't make sense that you think the person that's buying the home is going to be able to pay any better.
Yeah.
Because the interest rate's low. They have bad credit and they can't make their payments for a reason. They're not financially good, you know, what they do. So I don't think it's going to work. I think we're going to see more foreclosures down the road. But you know what? If you're in a situation where you have lower income or you have a combined a husband and wife and they both combine income is too much, you can use one versus the other. There are ways to play the field and get what you want done. But
is the housing market healthy right now?
I think it's pretty healthy.
We're not on the precipice of a 2008 housing bubble or anything like that.
That's, you know, in those days, babysitters were making $25,000 a month, and that's what they would claim, and they would get a mortgage. I don't think we're there anymore. Oh, I've seen that. We had somebody come in. Oh, I'm a babysitter. How much do you make? $25,000 a month? Can you prove it? No. All of a sudden, there's some. We can't do the loan for you, but next door, they got the loan done. So that's not happening. You're not going to see a reduction in value of the homes until all the people that, like yourself, that have 2% or 3% decide they want to sell their home, or they have to sell their home because they have to downsize or upsize. So until the cycle of what happened during COVID passes, the inventory is going to stay low. The prices are going to keep rising. So I say we're going to see appreciation at these levels up to 2030. There is some East Coast and West Coast softening, but overall, real estate's still going up. It's the biggest investment and the best investment you're ever going to make. I rarely hear of anybody that has a house and they have to sell it for less unless they beat it up over time. So over time, it's a great investment.
The one thing that has always really stuck with me about from your advice as far as when to sell and when to buy is that if people are sitting right now on the edge of their seats waiting for interest rates to come down, you need to understand that the whole market's going to go crazy when those interest rates come down, because there's going to be a flood of buyers that go into the market. And that house you want to buy, you're going to be bidding against a lot more people when the rates come down, because everybody's going to jump into the pool at the same time. That the smartest thing you can do, if you have found the home that you want to live in, instead of finding it and waiting on it, bid on it while there are going to be less offers out there, while the interest rates haven't come down as much as you hope that they will. And then obviously,
refinance,
which costs you nothing. So you get to have the lower home price and refinance immediately with the lower rate when that comes down, and you win twice.
And you get the house.
Correct.
You know, during COVID, people were bidding and making offers with no inspections, no appraisal, nothing. I'll just pay you for the house, whatever you want. And I know stories of people that bought houses and all of a sudden the first rain came and their basement flooded because there's problems with the foundation. So
bought it sight unseen. No idea.
Unbelievable. So now you're going to see that come around again. Your smartest thing, as you said, was to buy the house now, refinance later. This way you get the house, you get it at the right price, it'll continue to appreciate. And later on, you know, you may have to go into the couch and find the quarters and nickels to make that payment. But as long as you get by, you live in the house that you want. Remember something. You pay for a house. If you pay a little bit more, $5,000, $10,000, if you love the house, you'll never remember that you paid the extra $10,000. You spend $10,000, $20,000 less, or you go lower, and you end up getting the house you don't want. You remember every day what you spent on that house. So don't cut the small stuff. Don't go ahead and buy the house. You're going to get it back over time anyway, and this way you'll be able to refinance when the rates eventually, and they will, come down.
Well, if you're interested in working with Stu, I really encourage you to do so. 314-324-4440. Just have a conversation with him. You can text him as well. 314-324-4440. I am myself a two-time customer of the Bagel Loan, so I speak from personal experience. And if I could better my situation, although you got me at a pretty good, I'm in a pretty good place with the home and the rate that I have right now, I would immediately go back to Stewie to do that again. So thanks for coming in today.
Thanks. And remember, get that red bagel challenge if you have that done.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any questions, reach out to Stewie directly. Call or text 314-324-4440. You can Google the Bagel Loan to find out more information as well. We'll talk to you again soon, Stewie. Thanks for having me. Take care. We'll be right back with Wiggins America. Don't go away.
This.
Wiggins.
Oh! Monday Roundup.
This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
First things first.
I'm the realist.
Donald Trump has directed the Treasury to stop making pennies.
Can I scoop you here?
Please.
$3.67 to make every penny.
That's not what he or the article say.
What does it say?
Where'd you get that information?
I just made it up.
Oh, you're like just taking a guess as to what it costs to make a penny.
No, I think that's actually accurate.
This says 2 cents to make every 1 cent. That's what Trump says. He says, I'll read both because there's both here. It says, for far too long, the United States has minted pennies, which literally cost us more than 2 cents. This is so wasteful. I've instructed my secretary of the U.S. Treasury to stop producing new pennies. But then right afterwards, it says the cost of making a penny was nearly 3.7 cents in fiscal 2.7.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
3.7
Probably
cents.
Probably read that at like...
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is not are you going to mourn the loss of the penny, because we're still going to have pennies, but
let's have less.
We'll have less of them going forward. And does the 2025 penny become a collector's item now? Because they would have made very few of them. It's something I'm going to watch for.
You're going to start. What percentage of time when you are engaging in commerce do you use cash and change? Versus
I'd say
digital.
About 10 to 20% of the time do I use cash. And that's a high estimate.
It's only to get into youth sports. That's
yeah.
The only time I'm using cash.
Yeah. I use cash especially when I'm at a local business, because a lot of times, first of all, they're charging a surcharge now for credit cards. But second, I know that it helps them to have cash. Cash?
Rarely, maybe 5% of the time at the highest amount.
Do you ever? Does anybody care about using a penny?
No,
I don't really.
Remember,
I mean,
I don't remember the last time I used a penny.
I can't remember the last time I had coins in my pocket.
This seems like after reading, I'm like, well, of course that's the way you would sort of phase it out. We talked about it last week, Annie, when you were gone, that Elon Musk was saying, the penny's useless now, and getting rid of the penny. But you don't have to, like, get rid of the penny. You just stop making as many.
It's like $2 bills.
And it would naturally phase out. So that makes sense. Next one, Starbucks baristas slam a new rule to doodle on customers' cups. Have you noticed this if you've been to Starbucks recently?
No, I just go to Scooters.
Yeah, apparently they're telling them you need to write on customers' cups more often. And I didn't know this, and I thought somebody was just being nice to me one day.
The whole Starbucks thing, there's a huge Starbucks shift right now because they're not doing what they need to do. I think that has everything to do with culture. The culture when you walk into Starbucks... I don't mind their coffee. I know a lot of people think Starbucks coffee is not good. I don't mind their coffee. It's better than no coffee when I need coffee. Mm-hmm. But you're definitely like entering, I feel like I'm entering a realm when I participate in the Starbucks thing.
Good or bad?
Different.
Just you're entering a
it's
new
not
zone.
Bad, but.
A realm of like different colored hair or like what kind of
just
realm?
Just a different culture. Just okay. like the.
Is it like a vibe shift?
I think, let me put it this way. If I wore as much indication on myself of who I voted for, of the causes that I supported, I don't think they'd serve me coffee.
Okay. Well, they wrote on my cup the other day, slay the day.
Queen? Did they say queen?
They did
queen
not
after?
Say queen.
Mm. This is totally after you shaved your beard.
And I thought, no, this was before, I guarantee.
I don't.
And I was like, oh, wow, they wrote slay the day on there. That's kind of goofy. I've never seen that before.
If there's anything that you do, it's slay.
Like, man, I was
going to
have just an average day. And then I went out and slayed it like it was a dragon. And I was in that commercial last night about Goldilocks.
I don't believe it.
but I was excited, and then I read, oh, it's just a corporate initiative, and the employees hate it because now they got to write on all the cups to make you feel like you're special. Mm.
They should be stupid. Starbucks. They have lived in the world of needing to be made to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're opposed to doing it. I think they're never mind. Just
I can't believe they did it.
Cheers to
a white
Scooters.
Male.
I'm drinking Scooters right now.
I was in the drive-thru. Maybe they didn't know, but I was going to slay that. The Los Angeles wildfires czar exists. Did you know that?
Did he exist before the fires or after? And was it?
It's really unclear what this person's role has been, but for 90 days, the new appointed czar, I guess they didn't have the czar beforehand, but he might have been an employee. I'm not really sure. His name is Saborov.
This is a fantastic report.
Yeah, well, I read the whole thing and I was trying to figure out who this Saborov was before, Steve Saborov, but he was going to be compensated $500,000 for 90 days as the L.A. wildfire czar.
Good work if you can get it.
And people got pretty upset about that. And now it says that Steve Saborov is going to do it for free. So it's like,
how bizarre.
And they said, well, the $500,000, that was from charity. And
that doesn't make it better.
Right. Where is this coming from? So all these people are mad about it, and apparently he's still going to do the work just as well, but you don't have to pay him $500,000. Good for them in their cost savings. They're going to save half of a house in the Palisades.
Half of one house.
Well, there you go. That is the Monday.
That was all the information that you didn't know that you needed.
100% of it. Especially about the Starbucks cups.
Steve Moore. Ryan Schmell is from Capitol Hill next.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.